Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter. Hey Watchers, it's Nine, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. This week, friend of the pod Jason returns for more punishment. When I pitched to him and Dan the sketch comedy show, I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson is available to stream on Netflix. And this week's recommended watch order is a little bit different in that it's more of a bit of a cosmic mix that moves to the beat of jazz and is fairly detailed. So I'm not going to go into it here. But don't worry, we listed the episode order out during the pitch, and I've also included that watch order in the show notes. So you should be covered. And just to be clear, I will not be asking you to watch the episode with Will Forte in it, because I personally have more respect for you than that. Just as a quick reminder, we are only going to have one segment going forward, either a pitch or a feedback segment. Hopefully this and the other changes we've been working on for you folks have improved your overall quality of life, because they definitely improved ours. Either way, please let us know and rate us and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcast. And feel free to hit us up on our Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook pages. And if you have a show or movie you want us to watch or just something random you want us to mention on air, please leave us a voicemail on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/watchokplease. Also, on a final note, have you tried subscribing? I hear it's great, so watch, listen, rate, and subscribe, please. All right, watchers, grab a drink and get ready for the adult tour, where we can say whatever the hell we want. Hello, has this ever happened to you? Have you been looking for a better sketch comedy show that shares your awkward frustration with the world generally, but don't have a lot of time because you're a busy parent of two on the go, and you finally got your first paid booking for your little buff boys competition, but this guy won't pick which one of the boys is the buffest, which sucks because you started this little buff boys competition as a C-Corp instead of a single member LLC because you knew venture capitalists are going to be all over these little buff boys, but this guy is screwing up the whole thing and making you skip lunch, which is illegal, and they can't keep changing the rules of the tour because every time you see a bald boy, you think you're back in the pants? Has that ever happened to you? Of course it has. And so that's why you should be watching I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. The first two seasons are available on Netflix right now. And as of recording, it's been greenlit for a third. So it is just a general sketch comedy show, but this is the sketch show I'm thinking about all the time. It's taken over all the brain space in my head. So anytime you guys are talking to me or texting me, I'm thinking about the show in the way that Simpsons has taken over my mind for years. Kind of finally moved away, and this is just completely taken over. And a lot of the reason behind that is because I love sketch comedy, and every once in a while a sketch show kind of elevates the art form with a unique perspective or approach. And I'm thinking of, you know, things like Monty Python, SNL, Kids in the Hall, Chappelle's Show, a lot of the Tim and Eric stuff. And I think a Black Lady sketch show more recently. I'll even throw a Kroll show in there, where they all brought something different to the table, and they changed the form because it wasn't just sort of a standard premise, work your way through it, find a resolution. It's really driven by Tim Robinson. Are you guys familiar with him?
Nope, never. Nope. I've never heard of him, actually.
He was actually a former SNL cast member who ended up moving to just being a writer and then ended up leading the show, which is, I think, the only other person who's ever been on the show and then just moved to being a writer was Brian Doyle Murray. So it's a little weird.
Wow.
And speaking of SNL, like, let's be real. Most people think of SNL when it comes to sketch. And at this point, I've got a personal issue with the show, but I don't think SNL is really innovating in a meaningful way. I think it's very, you're not getting anything particularly new when it comes to SNL sketches. I don't think. I think they're decent, but I don't think they're unique.
The only thing they're bringing to the table is the random celebrity cameo.
Right. Yeah.
And occasionally the music bits.
That's true.
But that's not necessarily innovative, though.
I was going to say, I mean, it feels like SNL has been doing the same thing for about, you know, since the early 90s. You know, they sort of like took a while to figure it out. When you say innovative, like, what do you mean by that? Like, what do you see as like something innovative in the world of sketch comedy?
Oh, excellent question. Happy to answer it. So this show in particular, it's kind of, it's gotten, it's in smaller bits. And it's about 6 episodes per season. And it's kind of got a little bit of a trippy Adult Swim vibe, especially more the first season. There's a unique element I feel like sets it apart from a lot of the Adult Swim stuff and other stand-up or sketch comedy generally. I think that driving factor is that nearly every sketch includes a character that is desperately trying to get what they want from the beginning, to the point they're on the verge of a nervous breakdown because they aren't getting it. And that they're like awkwardly jumping right to their first terrible instincts to accomplish those goals. So it's kind of like those acting exercises where you're always talking about, like, you know, trying to figure out what your goal is in the scene and always raising the stakes. Well, the stakes are always 100% high from the beginning, it feels like, with all of these sketches. Wow. So you can easily watch a sketch from another show and just be like, I'm not sure what's driving these characters, or things are find it kind of flat. But every single sketch on the show just has someone pushing it to the limit, because they just so desperately need this thing to happen and they're shaking, and you just can't mistake that energy. And I think what's kind of been to the show's benefit is that it came out during the pandemic. And so it complements a lot of the weird, awkward anxiety that people were feeling from being isolated for such a long time and then having to get back out in the world. And so I think you get a better sense of watching these people kind of hitting the breaking point in ways that it hits a little harder post-COVID. So with that level of constant desperation, because you guys have worked with actors, and I'm sure there have been points where you've said, like, let's increase the stakes, make the stakes higher. But this show, it's interesting because everyone is truly at the level of breaking point. And I think they capture it really well, to the point where you can feel it in the scripted dialogue. Every once in a while, there's just this odd syntax from the characters that pops up where people are just saying words that demonstrate that they're processing and reacting at a point where their brain isn't regulating their speech anymore up to align with proper grammar. But it's just like they're saying words because they just want to get it out and get it done. And they just want you to give the thing and like give them the thing that they need. And you see that all the time in real life, right? Like, people get flustered, they mix up their words. But I think these guys do it so well, like with the written dialogue, that it's capturing kind of that mix of emotion and you know, that loss of control in a way that I think David Mamet kind of wishes he could, but never just really gets there because it's so controlled. Yeah. That's my Mamet shot for the evening. But I mean,
don't be knocking on Mamet, man. I love Mamet. I've got all of his plays like literally stacked about 2 feet from me right now.
Oh no.
Actually, the thing is,
there you go.
For those who, sorry, Dan, what were you going to say?
I just said, actually, the thing is,
I'm
flashing back to another sketch, actually, now I'm thinking in my head.
For those at home who may not know, David Mamet is a playwright who wrote Glengarry Glen Ross, American Buffalo, and many other famous plays.
And his very distinct style.
Yes.
Right. Usually a lot of profanity and a lot of, like, you know, yes, yes, yes. I mean, well, I do. Yes, yes. Yeah.
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 And it always just feels like it's just like it's dialogue you expect from an old men, like at a barbershop, like just kind of arguing with each other. Like, just using, I feel like there's so many antiquated random phrases that he throws in there that kind of just throws me off a little bit.
Fair.
Yeah.
As far as this show goes, I think some of the production elements are might be appealing to you guys because it's produced by the Lonely Island guys, Andy Samberg,
and
then Kiba Schaefer.
I'm familiar.
So I think there's definitely a Samberg cameo at some point, and the other guys get involved too. There are a couple, probably 3 other notable folks that I think you may be familiar with, who are also involved. Do you guys familiar with Sam Richardson?
Yes, I believe I know I recognize that name.
Did you guys watch Veep?
No.
Oh, no, no. But I know who you're talking about now. Now you mentioned Veep. Now I know who he is. Yes. Gotcha. Now I put.
He had like sort of a breakout character in Veep. He's actually best friends with Tim Robinson in real life. They did a show called Detroiters on Comedy Central, which is also, I'll pitch at some point because that show is brilliant. And Sam Richardson also showed up in one of the later seasons of Ted Lasso. But he's a delight. He's just got an incredible sense of timing that actually works really well with Tim Robinson's style. The other two people I'm thinking of that you may know are Tim Heidecker from Tim and Eric. He shows up in a couple of sketches. And then Patty Harrison, who I feel like is becoming more popular as time goes on. I think she's in The Lost City show, that Sandra Bullock Channing Tatum movie that's out right now. She's showed up in a lot of random things, but she's just got, she really hits it perfectly in this show with the random sketches she's in. Because she just seems to fit the writing style very well with her delivery.
I'm feeling like very culturally out of the loop. Person after person, I'm like, I'm just like nodding and going, sure, I've heard of them. Definitely. I don't know who these people are, to be honest.
Sam, I've heard Sam Richardson before because I know there's a couple people who all were pushing me to watch Veep, partially because of him. You know, all these people on there, you know, just go watch it. It's, you know, it's not, you'll catch up in no time. I'm like, it's like six seasons or whatever it is. And like, I'm like, okay, I'll eventually get to it. But
So is it against the rules? This is my first time being pitched to. Is it against the rules if I look him up on my phone real quick?
Absolutely not.
Not at all. Right.
No. Sam Richardson. I'm going to go see if I recognize his face.
There you go.
And okay, yeah, I've seen him. I don't know what I remember him from, but I've definitely seen him. Oh, yeah, okay. He was in the Tomorrow War. There you go.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. You don't have to take my word for it with this show, because our Lord and Savior, Margaret Lyons at the New York Times, is also in love with this show. And I've got a direct quote from the Watching newsletter that New York Times sends out on a regular basis from when the second season dropped, where she says, "Yay, the most deranged and wonderful sketch show is back for its second season, as funny as one could hope for and full of rage, grotesqueries, and hot dogs. Traditional sketch comedy relies on pattern building. Well, Leave toys with those rhythms in interesting ways, sometimes embracing the conventional format with unconventional specifics, but other times just hurtling off on its own direction. Genuine surprises are rare in television, but I think you should Leave is full of them." And I don't think we can get a better endorsement than our Lord and Savior Margaret Lyons at the New York Times.
Well, that kind of goes into what I was thinking about this, because it sounds like the way when you were kind of talking about it before, that I think a lot of sketch comedy out there, they've come up with an idea or a situation and they kind of just use that to organically kind of grow the sketch from there. And I think this is where I think a lot of SNL sketches fall flat, is that they rely too much on the premise and they don't necessarily develop it enough so that it becomes a fully fledged and has a kind of a clear kind of arc that is occurring throughout the sketch, basically. And there's a real kind of either situational punchline or funny, you know, or something else that's going to tickle the funny bones out there. And so I think that it sounds like to me that, you know, it starts out with these like super high stakes, like you were saying. I think that it forces you into these kind of almost absurdist level kind of situations as time goes on. So I could definitely see how that would make for kind of it's a definitely different formula, as you were saying. Yeah.
And I think it leads to genuinely interesting television. Actually seeing something at least doesn't feel like I've seen before. Just awesome.
That's a bold statement. Like TV you have not seen before.
I would probably shoot myself in the foot by making that statement.
Got me excited here.
I'm pumped. Yeah.
We're redefining television right now. I can't wait to see it. Excellent. Or, you know, what's possible. So yeah, exactly. I have a question. All right. So, like, there's been sort of this proliferation of these kinds of sketch comedy shows. Like, I'm thinking like Kay and Peele, Broad City, Portlandia, Inside Amy Schumer. And usually it's like one or two people, and like every sketch is just them, right? Is it like every sketch is like Tim Robinson, or is there something like, is he first of all in it all? And is there like anything connecting the sketches, or is it all just like random sketch, random sketch, random sketch? Give me a feel for what's happening on this show.
Good question. Yeah.
So he is in a lot of the sketches. He definitely shows up in quite a few of them. However, over time, I think they realized, I mean, had to have been a conscious decision, because you see it more in season two, that he starts to step away a little bit and pull in other actors who take on, you know, his general energy and persona, but, you know, carry it. And essentially you can see them as a conduit for him in the sketch. So there are certain connections and certain through lines from different sketches, but a lot of them just exist independently on their own. And he is in the vast majority of them.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. I was saying, it's not like Kroll Show in the sense that he's created an entire universe where these different sketches actually interact with each other by the end, mm-hmm. and they kind of cross over each other. Every once in a while, there is a connection between two.
Mm.
Got it. Okay.
Like recurring characters like that.
Yeah. They're sort of. I think cool. one, and honestly, guys, for two parents of children, there are no episodes that are over 20 minutes. So this is a quick digestible show.
Oh, nice, dude.
Perfect. So, I love that.
Yeah. Entertaining, you know, and also kind of encapsulating, you know, it sounds like to me like they're trying to basically, you know, really grab the sketches and have them, you know, live an appropriate length of time and not try and draw something that should have been, say, 3.5 minutes out to 10 minutes, basically. So that's also reassuring on that perspective as well.
Yeah, I think he took what he learned from SNL and then made this better.
There you go.
Because some of that SNL stuff just drags on forever. It just can be kind of nonsense.
Yeah. You know, again, every once in a while that they come up with something, you know, a concept or a character that really, you know, that slaps. But I feel like more often than not, it's just, again, they do the first part of the writing and then they don't necessarily follow through all the time.
Right. Well, like as an example, on a recent episode, they have like this recurring sketch there where it's A.D. Bryant plays a mom and everyone gives her signs. It's like, oh, we got you this for Mother's Day or your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that sketch? Right.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny, but it's like one joke over and over again where they just keep giving silly signs that get it escalates in the sense the signs get sillier. But otherwise, it's just like. And here's another sign suggesting that you drink too much. Here's another
exactly,
sign.
That's what I was thinking.
You drink too much. And it's funny and you get a chuckle out of it. But, you know, you sit there and think like, you know, could this have gone somewhere else? And right. So now my hope is Tim Robinson is the answer to this. And he's finding ways to take sketches somewhere else. You know, what's the continuation of that story?
Yes, I absolutely think he accomplishes that.
So to throw out an incredibly dated and mostly unrelated reference, you could say this is the new Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
I think that's fair.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Yeah. I think this is going to be this is going to be fun to watch, I think.
Well, I was going to say, I wish he pitched this to me yesterday. My son really wanted us to watch The Conjuring. Oh. And I do not like horror at all.
Okay.
And that, like, have you ever seen The Conjuring?
No.
It's like a haunted house. You know those kinds where like you go in and every room someone's just gonna like jump and scare you.
Yes.
Like room after room. That's the whole movie, right? Like there's
jump scare. It's a jump scare like factor.
Is this a jump scare? Oh, it's just a rolling ball. Is this a jump scare? Oh no, it's just a leaky pipe. Is this a yes? You know, and I hate that kind of movie, but you know, I had promised my son I would watch it with him, and then like the movie ended, and it was like 10 o'clock at night, and I'm like, I can't sleep. Like, if I had had this one day earlier, I would have been like, just 20 minutes, something in a happy, funny place is exactly what I need.
You know,
so sketch comedy writers out there, I want you to take this concept. What Jason just said, and I want you to make a parody of it. So whereby they see someone goes through, someone like a Rod Serling type basically walks through a house, and they just go through every single thing in the house, just saying, you know, is this a jump scare? And then you just put that on SNL.
One way to get him over this is, have you ever brought them to like a theme park, like a Six Flags or a Universal Studios where, and I'm thinking specifically Universal Studios, because I did this once where it was during Halloween and they had all these random actors who were just randomly jump. Basically, it was constant jump scares. Like they were just constantly trying to jump out at you and freak you out. And there were a bunch of different sets that were from rides that were turned into haunted houses. So it was just constantly being jump scared. And I almost punched like five actors in the face. having to live through that, maybe that'll get them less interested.
Maybe. I don't know. He loves that stuff. Like he would love to go to something like that and just be like, oh, that's awesome.
It might create a monster.
14. So, you know, like, all that stuff is the coolest thing on earth.
Fair enough.
Well, again, you know, everyone has like different, you know, things that kind of give them that proverbial hormone kick in their, you know, or adrenaline kick in the brain or endorphin kick in the brain. So I understand. There's some people, you know, watch things that are not commonly recommended to view in the workplace. I'll see it.
Fair enough. So in terms of the episodes, I've actually got a total of, because they're so short, I've got 7. And I've got them in a specific order.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
That when you're going to go to Netflix to watch them, they don't list the episodes in a numbered order, but they just list the title of the episode. So I will email you this list.
Okay. But
I'll walk through it now.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Can I ask a question? Like, you said the whole season's like 6 episodes, right?
Yes.
So would it make sense to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Or no, you're going to like have us do like a smattering from like 2 different seasons.
I kind of curated this a little bit so that they're focusing on specific sketches that I'm obsessed with, starting with those and then kind of working back. So it's going to be all jumping right over the place a little bit. Thankfully, the sketches that do have real distinct connections to each other might not be in order, but at least you'll be able to make the connection.
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. Let's do this then. All right.
Yeah.
I got a pen out and everything. All right.
Excellent. The first episode is episode 3 of season 2, which it's referred to as, "You sure about that? You sure about that? That's why?"
The mammoth meter is kind of hitting me now.
Yeah. Even the title I can barely keep track of. I'm like, I'm not looking at it. Let me see if I can remember the title of this show off the top of my head. I want you to leave?
Oh, I think you should leave.
I think you should leave. Like, there you go. It's like an alternative version. It's like a very polite version of Get Out.
Yes.
Yes.
I think you should leave.
Please pack your knives and go.
Exactly. All right. 2.3. You sure about that? What's next?
Then episode 1 of season 2, which is entitled "They Said That to Me at Dinner."
Okay.
And then we jump back to season 1, and it's episode 5, which is entitled "I'm Wearing One of Their Belts Right Now."
Okay.
Awesome.
And then we're going to go back to season 2 and episode 2. And the name of that episode is "They Have a Cake Shop There, Susan, Where the Cakes Just Look Stunning."
Yes. Yes. I love that title.
And then the next one would be season 2, episode 4, which is entitled "Everyone Just Needs to Be More in the Moment."
Okay.
Yeah.
Then flipping back to season 1, episode 1, which is entitled "Has This Ever Happened to You?"
Now we come full circle from the top of the episode.
Yes, almost. Because then I'm going to have you go to episode 3 of season 1, and that one's called "It's the Cigars That You Smoke That Are Going to Give You Cancer." So if you could please watch it in that order.
Yeah,
that's it.
Absolutely, man.
That's the deal here, man. That's what we're doing here. So
yeah,
I don't think we've had something this randomly haphazard just yet, because when we did a Black Lady sketch show, we went in order and that one made sense. Maybe we jumped this. I don't even know if it was out yet.
I think that, when we watched it, it was only just the one, and it dropped late. Season 2, it was just dropping, I think, like a week after we released the episode or something like that.
That's right.
Again, with that, I think there was more of that one underlying storyline that was happening between the episodes. So,
oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it made more sense to stick with the order on that one.
Yeah, 100%. Because otherwise that sort of underlying hook didn't make as much sense.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch a Black Lady sketch show?
I have not. I'm intrigued, actually, because I listened to your pitch, and I was like, this sounds pretty good. I got to go check that out, but I haven't had the chance yet. So
I have to ask, Nyan, do you still have that deck?
Oh, with the glossary?
Yes.
Yeah, I can send you the glossary, Jason.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend sending the glossary, just because I thought I knew about 60% of what was on there, but there were some terms on there that I was less familiar with.
Glossary? It requires a glossary?
I found it helpful. I'll send it over.
All right. Send me the glossary.
Sounds good. Oh, speaking of that, I have to ask, have both of you seen the latest Matrix movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So Dr. the Hertep herself, If you watch this show, Jason, when you meet Dr. Olyanka, I can't remember the full name off the top of my head.
Hadassah Olyankerman, Youngerman Ali, I think. Is her
Pre-PhD,
name?
Right, exactly.
Pre-PhD.
Pre-PhD. So when you see her, tell me that that's not Jada's character from The Matrix, New Matrix. Okay?
Okay.
That's all I wanted to all tell right. me it's not. So.
All right. Definitely. I will keep that in mind, and I'm very lost right now. But now all I'm thinking is Jada Pinkett Smith, The Matrix. And I will look out for that, and I will report back.
Cool.
Excellent. I hope you guys like this. My self-esteem depends on it, so I'm really hoping this works out.
No. Again, if Margaret says it's amazing, I'm sure that we'll all be floored by it. So,
I do need to confirm. If I accidentally watch episode 1 from season 2 before watching episode 3 from season 2, does that ruin the experience?
It doesn't necessarily.
I'll try and keep it straight. I'll definitely try and keep it straight. I think I can handle it. I think I got it.
I'll definitely email you this list.
This is like, this is like a playlist from like an old tape. It's like, no. You start with that one song and then you go into, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is your Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, volume, 1.5. Yeah.
Yeah. It's my awesome mix.
That works, man. And the best part about this is that it's going to be good quality. It won't be, re-recorded from the radio or from another tape.
That's right. It won't be holding up a tape recorder to the radio.
Or random, commercials from like, Easy Pickens or something like that, or Strawberry.
Exactly.
I was going to say, there's a lot of pressure. I'm hoping I like it now. I don't want to, destroy our friendship.
Oh, yeah, no, don't worry.
Not
liking
this TV show. Be like, Nyan, I didn't like it, and I'm afraid we can never speak again now. So,
I think with most shows that wouldn't be a problem. With this one, maybe that's a possibility. But hey,
Nyan's still here after Penny Dreadful, so anything's possible. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we hated Penny Dreadful so much. I wanted it. I wanted to like it. I just couldn't. But. Yeah, man. No, definitely don't be afraid of not liking this, because I can see this show as being polarizing, to be honest. It could be one of those you either really, really get into it or you really don't. Kate kind of doesn't want to watch it, but I've been sneakily making her watch random sketches over time, and she's convinced that I'm going to eventually make her watch the entire series piecemeal, which is definitely my intent. So nice. She's absolutely right. I am trying to do this. But
I think of it as laughter via 1,000 cuts as opposed to death.
Yes.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. I'm super excited. I think I'm going to start right after we're done here. I'm just going to go knock out that first episode.
Awesome.
Boom.
Well, that happened, folks, which brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. We hope you had a good time listening to us spout more nonsense today, and hope you join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or just tell a friend about us. Until next week, keep on watching.